This is the G Podcast with your host, Tommy B.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Welcome to episode 220 of This is the G Podcast. Yes, yes. That's right. We're back. I'm Tommy B, and each week we do news, politics, pop culture, and that piping hot tea from the one and only Tanya B. Syracuse Mike has your news update. The Newsmaker crew is here. That's me, Vi, and Talib. This week's episode is titled O.J. Simpson Redux, so you know what it's all about, man. In the wake of O.J.'s death at 76, we'll talk about it. Plus, Atlanta producer Rico Wade, known for some of the massive hits that came out of Atlanta in the 90s, passes away at 52. First, let's go ahead and get to news with Syracuse Mike.
News team, assemble!
It's time for the Week in News with Syracuse Mike.
In sports, NCAA women's basketball, the South Carolina Gamecocks finished their season undefeated with an 87-75 win over Iowa. Millions of Americans experienced a total eclipse Monday, but not so much in Georgia. The eclipse started in Middle Georgia at about 1:46 p.m. and peaked just after 3 p.m. What you experienced without using special glasses while looking at the sun was an odd, shadowy, hazy few minutes. No real darkness, since about 20% of the sunshine was able to break through. The total eclipse got underway in the United States and Texas and traveled through several states all the way up to Maine. We won't have another moment like this in the U.S. until 2044. In Arizona, a stunning ruling by the state Supreme Court. Most abortions are now banned in that state. This is actually a law that goes back to as early as 1864 and carries a prison sentence of 2 to 5 years for doctors who provide abortions for any reason other than to save a woman's life. Even several state Republican legislators are calling for the law to be repealed, saying it goes too far. President Biden's campaign immediately blamed the ruling on former President Trump's appointment of three conservative Supreme Court justices, Arizona Governor and Democrat Katie Hobbs.
It is a dark day in Arizona. The Arizona Supreme Court issued its opinion upholding one of the most extreme abortion bans in the country.
The law can't go into effect for 14 days, and Hobbs says it must be repealed. O.J. Simpson has died. Simpson lost his battle with prostate cancer on Wednesday, and his family posted the news on his social media account Thursday. The post read, "Our father, Orenthal James Simpson, succumbed to his battle with cancer. He was surrounded by his children and grandchildren. During this time of transition, his family asks that you please respect their wishes for privacy and grace." Just months ago, Simpson addressed his health issues in a video he posted before this year's Super Bowl.
Obviously, I'm dealing with some issues, but hey, I think I'm just about over it. I'll be back on that golf course, hopefully in a couple of weeks. But it was very nice hearing from you and hearing those good, positive words. Thank you.
While Simpson wanted to be remembered as a very popular football player and actor, history will likely remember him as the central figure in what was known as the trial of the century.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Simpson was acquitted after being charged with the 1994 murder of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and Ron Goldman. Simpson later served 9 years in prison for his role in an armed robbery. He was released in 2017. O.J. Simpson was 76. The Cochran firm, founded by one of Simpson's attorneys, the late Johnny Cochran, was among those offering condolences to Simpson's family and friends. In a statement, they added, "They pray that the families of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman may be able to find some measure of peace." The death of O.J. Simpson reminds us of the racial divide in America. At the time, tensions were still high following the police beating of Rodney King. Of the many images from Simpson's trial for murder, it was the split screen in 1995 showing the reaction to the verdict that many people still remember.
In the matter of the people of the state of California versus Orenthal James Simpson, we, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty of the crime of murder.
Black Americans were shown cheering while white Americans appeared horrified. Of course, there were those on both sides with a different opinion. The Cochran firm, founded by one of Simpson's attorneys, the late Johnny Cochran, addressed the divide in a statement to USA Today on Thursday, saying, "We cling to the hope that as a nation, we will one day mature beyond the polarizing social forces surrounding the horrific deaths of two beautiful people. Those homicides came to be emblematic of the unspoken tensions of a nation that has struggled with social justice for centuries." Monday is Income Tax Day. If you're not ready to file, you can get an extension to file your return and avoid a failure to file penalty. But this is not an extension to pay whatever balance you think you owe. That amount is still due on April 15th.
Thanks, Mike, for the headlines. Man, Tlaib and Vi are here. Yes, y'all give it up for the one and only country commentator. Vi's in the building. Vi, what's up? Yes. Tlaib Shabazz is in the building. Tlaib, hey. What's going on, man?
Hey, how's everybody doing? How's everybody?
Yes, yes, yes. All right, y'all, man. You know, we'll get right into it. The death of O.J. Simpson at 76, man, prostate cancer this week, pretty much stole the week. You know, of all the news that we were going to talk about, the eclipse and some other stuff going on with Cheeto Jesus. We'll get into that later, toward the end. But, forever. That's who he is to them. But I remember the day of the Bronco vividly. I do. I was 30. I was grown, working in Dallas, and it was on a Friday, and everybody getting ready for the weekend, and all of a sudden everybody was around the TV, and it was, a wrap. 95 million people watched the Bronco. 95 million. Think of that. And I forgot the fact that OJ was on the phone talking about killing himself.
Yeah.
As they were talking to him on the phone. And to many, the trial truly ushered in reality TV, wall-to-wall coverage on court TV. All the obsession we have now for celebrities really just went to another level with the OJ trial. I would say, given the fact that this thing was on every day, every hour, it's that point in history that takes celebrity worship to another level. And it was probably the most at any point, and I have to compare this because this is what we're going to talk about today, part of what we're going to talk about at any point in terms of the country being polarized when the verdict was read. Before that, keep in mind, in 1992, the LAPD had been acquitted. Then you had the Rodney King video back in 1991. So it was led to even more polarization. Now, keep in mind, y'all, when the verdict was read back then, the trial, when it was all said and done, 80% of Black people agreed with it.
Right.
80%. And more than half of whites disagreed. So, I was heavy into sports. So from my standpoint, even, watching OJ with the Naked Gun movies and all the movies he did, I was always into OJ as that Buffalo Bill, that running back. That's what mattered most to me. Looked at him as this big icon. I just looked at him as one of the greatest running backs in history.
Correct.
Comments are split and were split, with OJ in terms of their thoughts on OJ. So, just a couple of things, and I want to throw it to you guys that were said this week, just to frame it. One commentator on CNN said Blacks identified and celebrated OJ because white people had been killed. And the reaction at the time verified it. Now, that's one commentator on CNN. Mark Lamont Hill of the Griot. Now, he cleaned up his original tweet, which he called OJ a murderer and a monster. But the tweet that now stands, it says OJ Simpson was an abusive liar who abandoned his community long before he killed two people in cold blood. His acquittal for murder was correct and necessary as a result of the racist criminal legal system. But he's still a monster, not a martyr. It's rumored that OJ would tell friends, I'm not Black, I'm OJ. And as you know, in the famous famous Jay-Z song, that's one of the things that Jay-Z includes in the lyrics. And Caitlyn Jenner, which was Bruce back then, tweeted, good riddance, OJ Simpson. Thoughts? I want to go to you first, Vi. What are your thoughts?
I mean, a lot of us probably think OJ did it. But that trial really wasn't about OJ killing them people. People tend to forget what OJ did, what happened to Rodney King. We saw on TV the police officer literally almost beat this man to death, and every last one of them got away with not guilty. Okay, no one talked about that during the day, but that's all. But that was the talk about back then. Like the man said, OJ got away with it, and the black people were happy. Not that he got away with murder. We said, finally, a black man had a, he had a fair trial.
Yeah.
He had a fair trial. Not that he innocent, that he had a fair trial. And we can talk about all this other stuff, like Stephen A. said, okay, Stephen A., well, you felt that way back, you felt that way today, but would you have felt the way back then after seeing Rodney King get beat by these four white cops? He was not guilty. So why we never talk about that when we talk about OJ? Because that'll bounce it out. Because that was the black folk. I know that's why I felt about the trial. I thought OJ did it. But a black man finally got a fair trial against among the white folks. And that what we celebrated. Not that he was so innocent, we celebrated that. I know that when I said, oh, a black man finally got a fair trial.
He beat the system.
He beat the system. Like the white folks always do. It wasn't he wasn't a lawyer.
Yeah.
The cops tried to rig it. They got caught rigging it. They got caught lying. So if anybody should be mad, don't be mad at OJ. Be mad at the LA Police Department. They blew that case.
Marsha Clark.
They blew the case. And you got a racist cop saying he ain't racist. Then you got him okay, clearly showing that he racist. So it ain't not saying that OJ got away being innocent. We showed how crooked the LA police system was. And they said, since y'all are so crooked, there is no way we can find this man guilty with y'all presenting the evidence. Because y'all tainted the evidence.
Gotcha.
So that's what it was about. To me, let's anyway.
Go. Let's go. Good point, Vi. Let's go to you, Talib.
What do I want to say about OJ? you know, I think that OJ represents the dichotomy of man, you know, or the duality of man, I should say. Because, you know, growing up as, you know, a melanated person in this country, we know that we are relegated to second class citizenry. To be able to break out of that and, you know, have the acceptance of the country as a whole is something that very few of us actually get a chance to do. So when you're talking about, you know, somebody like OJ, the accomplishments that he was able to perform in his lifetime, you know, yeah, we should be, you know, you should want to sing his praises for that. He did a good, you know, he was able to take advantage of his talents fully, you know. First time I remember seeing OJ was actually, outside of the football arena, was in a comic book. I think it was like 78, 77, 78. I had just started collecting comics. And there was a advertisement in the comic book for a cowboy boot. I don't know if y'all remember OJ when he was the spokesperson for Dingo Boots.
Wow. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But again, I'm saying all that to say OJ hasn't really played around in spaces that we would normally be in. You know, at that time, in the 70s, late 70s, what black person was advertising cowboy boots?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What black person was advertising Hertz rental car company? You know, yeah. He's running through the airport. You know, I mean, we could say a lot of things about celebrity culture in these times. And I think there's way too much celebrity worship for where we are right now. You know, this whole megastar celebrity thing, you know, paparazzi around all the time. Yeah, it's too much. And I agree with Vi. That OJ trial, the reason that I was into the trial, because I do remember where I was when he was in the Bronco, And yeah. I do remember where I was when he was found not guilty, was not found innocent when he was found not guilty. It's just, it was, there, the emotions that I had were basically, were about the fact that he beat the system.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I got you. I got you, Tlaib. And I'll say this, man. We don't need to be retrying the OJ case. I really don't think that's something. We don't need to do that. But what we do need to be talking about is why we haven't fixed the divide. You know, that's one of the biggest things I think that brings to light, you know, the problems, because it's interesting now because we're dismantling all the tools that are intended to fix the divide. Right. That's why DEI exists. You know, not just, again, it's not just a black thing, but a lot of these tools that we're dealing with now are intended to fix the divide, especially if you've been alive long enough to remember how bad it was, you know, when the Rodney King, when first of all, the video came out,
right?
You know, and then the verdict came out. If you've been alive long enough, then you understand why these tools are in place. Because one of the things, and it's interesting you mentioned, you know, because we're post, how do you say it? We're I'm a boomer, but I'm really boomer X. Okay. If you look at the generation, Vi, you are too. 64, we were like right the last year. So we might as well be Gen Xers. Tlaib, you're Gen X. And the thing is, we benefited from, our parents benefited from the civil rights legislation that came out of the, you know, the Johnson administration. So again, we're that first generation beneficiary. Does that make sense to you guys? Mm-hmm. So we benefited. So we saw a lot of the change. If you lived in Atlanta, you saw a black mayor, right. You know, you saw the black administration. If you lived in a black city, you were seeing all these changes going on. Mm-hmm. And OJ was a part of that. You know, even though you had Jim Brown from Cleveland, OJ kind of took it to the next level, you know, when it comes down to it. So, you know, when people say, well, how could you even care or give condolences to this murderer? Wait a minute. Yo, he's not a murderer.
technically. He's not.
You know, so for people who were posting, he was a murderer. He wasn't. He was never convicted. You know, he was convicted of, what do you call it? When he stole
his own merchandise.
You know, which was wrong. Mm-hmm. He should have thought about it. That's what he was convicted of. So it's interesting because the same people who want to celebrate the likes of Rittenhouse, like Kyle Rittenhouse, who engaged people who were protesting to kill them, they don't want to call him a murderer, but they are quick to call OJ a murderer.
Well, you know, that just goes to show you the hypocrisy of it all. You know, as long as you're playing for our team, you know,
it's cool.
Then it's cool. But if you're not on our team, then it's a problem.
But to me, that's why we fail. We fail. I mean, we took advantage of the civil rights movement, but we didn't improve it. It got to the point where we saw improvement where we thinking, okay, we don't need it. Yes, you still do need it, because you got these people still thinking that way. And I want you to remember, when they say the good old days, they're talking about the day when you didn't have all these rights. That's the good old days they're talking about. Based on what city it was, you had this judge, this convicted racist Ku Klux Klan, admitted that he did it, and the judge gave him a light sentence because he said, we're not as strong as Antifa. What the hell they got to do with what this guy did?
Yeah.
So, no.
You know,
down with it. I'm sorry.
Okay. And the thing that you also said, you know, is that, you know, DEI and there, we have all these tools that are here to kind of balance things out. But what balances out our mindset?
Yeah.
You know, we still have people like Candace Owens out here.
That's who I'm talking about.
Right. So again, we may have overcome some things. Yeah. But we are still battling ourselves. That's the how many people do you know that really, you know, that, oh man, look, I'm sorry, guys. It's just frustrating because you would think that if nothing more, we were able to come together on, we would be able to find one or two things to come together about.
No, we can't.
You know,
it's no, about that bag. And the first thing we say, I made it. Okay, right. So made it, but you don't think you owe it to help other folks to make it?
Yeah,
no, we don't feel that way.
And what's more is once they got it, we see what they do with it.
Trash tones.
I mean, there aren't too many folks out there like LeBron who's gonna be willing to invest into a school. You know what I mean? And these are the things that you would think that these are the first things that we should be doing. You know what I mean? When you look at, you know, the Your program that Elijah Muhammad had going on back in the day, I mean, it was grocery stores, it was bakeries, it was laundromats. You know what I mean? It was about community businesses.
Well,
we don't have that.
I'm gonna say what D.I. Hugo said, but listen, how you talk about D.I. He said D.I. has never got one black person a job who wasn't qualified.
Truly.
Who wasn't qualified. Now, how many white folks, you know, who got the job
through nepotism
that was not qualified? He said, because like, I liked when he compared Obama to Bush. He said, okay, Ivy League graduate. Bush failed. Didn't perform his duty as a reserve. Didn't go to an Ivy League school. And what school he went to, he wasn't at the top of his class. But he became president. He actually was unqualified to be president. Obama had to be the best of the best of the best of the best of the best. And we still want to talk about he's not qualified. So like Dick said, DEI has not helped any black person that got a position who was not qualified. Clarence Thompson. Thomas. The black Supreme Court. Supreme Court justice. If it wasn't for DEI, he would not be where he is.
Well, if it wasn't for
what I'm saying is not the same thing. But we had to put some in the system to help him get there. Without that help, he wouldn't have made it. And for some reason, he thinks we don't need it no more.
Right. Yeah. Well, he felt ashamed.
I do want to say, man, you know, I think, again, going back to the fact that, you know, the country's more divided or as divided as it was back, you know, during Rodney King. And even more so now because of the communication opportunities people have with social media. You know, it is.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we have a way. Everybody's in tribes. Everybody's split and, you know, broken out.
I think it's always been
so. So it's going to make it tough. Well, it has been vibe, but the interesting thing
they're not scared to see it.
Well, that and the fact that the tribes are able to double down even more because they have Fox News, they have Telegram, they have Facebook.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
You can keep the tribe together and double down on ideology
because,
a lot stronger.
It used to be consequence of you saying stuff like that. Now you get rewarded for saying stuff like that.
And you talk about president, and I want to move on to, you know, our big takes of the week. You talk about the presidency, and the bar has never been lower for the presidency as it is now. So quite frankly, you know, who cares about the presidency that much? Other than the fact that I think it's about protecting who gets in it. But I do think we need to revisit, and I'll say this, we need to revisit the Constitution when it comes down to the qualifications for president. Because now the fact is, you know, you can have a felony as we're about to
and
watch,
be president.
If this goes through and be president.
How is that right?
It's sad. Let's go around the horn, y'all. I'll start with your big takeaway for the week.
My big takeaway, I was reading, you know, about all this, the rules and law we trying to, keep these women from getting pregnant. I think it's kind of
women's reproductive rights.
Okay. If I was reading, they said now the uptick of getting permanent solutions has risen. Now folks are taking to the stream where saying, okay, make it where I cannot get pregnant again. Men are saying, make it where I can't have babies again. So instead of, they're making it worse because the younger folks now are going to the extreme. They're not waiting till they have babies or to older age. They're at the age in their early 20s saying, time out too. Or get a vasectomy. Yeah. In their early 20s, because they said, since I can't have an abortion, okay, we're going to alleviate that altogether. So they actually made it. Yeah. I think they made it worse. They didn't make it better. They made it worse. Because these young folks saying, okay, since I can't have an abortion, okay, time out too. Get rid of my egg. For I cannot have to worry about that more. And men are doing the same thing. Say, okay, I want a vasectomy. And they ain't even had a baby yet. Just give me a vasectomy. We're gonna end this abortion talk. So they actually made it worse. I think it's backfiring on, from what I'm reading. It's backfiring. But they say that has increased a lot.
Well, it's interesting, Bob, when, and I've been saying this on the show for a while, the women who are supporting this infringement on reproductive rights, that's amazing to
me. It's me too.
If you are basically supporting your rights being taken away. Now, that has nothing to do with whether or not you believe in it. It's amazing that people are willing to give up their rights.
It's in this world where either you agree with me, if you don't agree with me, you're wrong.
Yeah, so they're basically putting themselves back into the handmaid's tale.
They're imprisoning
themselves. Let me go to you, Talib. What's your big takeaway for the week, man?
Well, boy. Sorry. You know, honestly speaking, my takeaway for the week really is the death of two of hip-hop's pioneers. It hit home, you know, it wasn't bad enough that we lost DJ Mr. C out of New York earlier this week, who started off as Big Daddy Kane's DJ and then went on to do production for a lot of folks, was the one who is actually credited with bringing Notorious B.I.G. to Bad Boy and producing some cuts on his album as well. You know, everybody who knows C, you know, just talked about how a humble person he was, you know, even though that, you know, there was always a little controversy surrounding him and his choice of adult entertainment. I've not met too many people in the business who have that kind of respect from the business, you know. So sleep in peace to Mr. C. And then this morning before we went to tape, I found out that Rico Wade, who is one third of the Atlanta-based production company Organized Noise and the Dungeon Family, who put out Outkast, Goody Mob, Waterfalls for TLC, and just as, you know, of somebody that I looked at and respected as a brother. It's rough. It's rough. So I just want to say to the family, to the Wade family, to the Dungeon family, that, you know, we get it. We get it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it was a job well done.
Absolutely. 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 All right, man. Appreciate you for giving your insight into that, man. That's your era. That's your wheelhouse, without a doubt.
Well, you know, that I'll tell you, man. Rico, I met Rico, and I'll touch on it briefly. I'm not going to stay on it. But I met Rico through my roommate at the time, Ian Burke. And Ian was managing Organized Noise. They had just done the deal with Pebbles for the group Parental Advisory. And they were working on, you know, what was coming next. And so I was there from, you know, from the early, from the early days. You know, I wasn't one of the people sleeping on Rico's mom's floor in the living room, but but I was definitely in that little dirt room that they called me. You know, when the production was happening, you know, a little.
Let me ask you a quick question, man.
Yeah,
Bomb Squad. And, you know, Bomb Squad and Organized Noise.
Mm-hmm.
Two major impacting production houses. Would you not say?
True.
Because Bomb Squad.
Yes. Hank Shockley.
Public Enemy,
yeah. Shockley Brothers. Yes.
Most they definitely. Were. I look at Rico and what they did with Organized Noise. That was the Bomb Squad. That was like our Bomb Squad. The Atlanta Bomb Squad.
Totally.
But go ahead.
Even in the production styles, you know, the production styles were similar. The Bomb Squad, you know, the people who produced a lot of Public Enemy's first two or three albums, also did Ice Cube solo joint. You know, these guys were about creating a sonic landscape, and there was so many sounds and just like, what is that? You know, what is that noise? And
it was the era of the producer.
Exactly. And Organized followed a similar thing, because it was about taking non-traditional sounds and kind of making something new out of it. And, you know, those guys, for what they did, not only for the city, but for the South.
Yeah.
You know, before that, I mean, Thomas, you know, you were in radio, you know, what artists did we really have coming out of anywhere in the South that was respected, you know, hip hop wise, like until Outkast.
Yeah. And on the R&B side, you already had, you know, LL and Babyface, but on the hip hop side.
Exactly.
It was Organized Noise.
Yes.
Yeah. And what came out of it? The Dungeons.
So all we have a Gladys Knight at the time.
Say what?
As all we have,
you know, Gladys is my favorite night, too, man. Gladys is my all-time favorite.
Save the overtime. I love me some Gladys. I can't wait. I love me some Gladys, man. Period. Yeah. All right, so I'll tell you, man. This week, Cheeto Jesus was in town.
I didn't want to talk
in
about
the ATL, I want to clear something up, man, because he keeps making this claim that he's done more for Black people than I'm watching a Channel 2,
which is a lie.
Channel 2
lie.
News interview, and he steps out and say, hey, I've done more for Black people than Abe Lincoln.
It's
Let
false.
Me just say it's false. Okay, so I just want to debunk it, and I want to list a couple of things so that people are informed. Okay, no one's done more, in my opinion, in the modern era than LBJ. Okay, you talk about the Civil Rights Act of 1964. It's illegal to discriminate on the basis of race, religion, sex, color, national origin. The Voting Rights Act, 1965, stated it's illegal to discriminate on the basis of race while voting. For the first time, Blacks had positions in the cabinet, on the Supreme Court. Johnson appointed more Black judges than any president before him. And Johnson opened the White House not only to Black athletes and performers, but also to Black religious, civic, and political leaders in significant numbers. I could go on and on, but come on, dog. I mean, you need to stop. And even when it comes down to some of the things, you can make a case for the Affordable Cares Act, you know, Obamacare, and the impact that it's made. And modern day, you can make a case for Biden's what Biden's doing with student loan debt, because student loan debt is pulling a whole lot of Black folks out of debt right now. It's a significant impact in terms of the amount of money that's being waived, that's being forgiven. So stop it, dog. Stop. You can say I did this, I did that.
That's what I was going to say. Tell us what you did. Go into detail.
Go into detail.
He can't. Tell us what you did.
He can't.
He can't.
That's the thing. That's the thing. When you look, you know, he's a grifter. So that means that there's you have to leave room for me to grift. Right.
I mean, I hate to say it, you know, because you've been in, you know, I've done sales. He's a sales guy. He's like, okay, I'm gonna give you generalities.
I'm not gonna give you details. He's worse than a salesperson.
He is a snake oil.
Yeah.
He got the wagon and the bottles of I can help you sauce. Okay.
But what was up with the sister with the pink hair though?
Like, well, the thing is, let me tell you this.
Ghetto looking.
Specifically.
What are you talking about? I love you, Trump.
The woman is already part of MAGA. She Correct. Is a conservative. Blexit. Mm. If you've heard of the Blexit movement, mm-hmm. The Candace Owen kind of quote unquote founder,
right.
She's part of that movement. So it's not like just some sister on the street walking up saying, "We love you." I think she organized. If I'm not mistaken. She organized the Chick-fil-A stop.
Right.
So that was her stop. Yeah. Because you know Trump ain't about to
and I like to know, black woman. I'm like, no, like my girlfriend said, who owns that Chick-fil-A?
I don't know. Which one was it? What was it? Which one was it?
It looked like the one.
So who's the owner of that? That's what I want to know. Put their name out there.
Well, you know, here's the thing. You know, Chick-fil-A has suspect policies.
They do.
As we know. But, you know, in terms of where he was going to stop, it was either going to be Chick-fil-A or McDonald's. So take your pick. So I'm not going to call out Chick-fil-A, but I do want people to know that the woman wasn't just a random. She was, you know, it was intended that she do that for a photo op. Because it was Atlanta. I mean, why not do a photo op like that in one of the blackest cities in America? You know, so she, you know, he knew what he was doing. Yeah. So, and you know, she's not a convert. No, she's
one of them.
You know, what do you call it? A loyal MAGAist.
Right. Which goes back to what I was saying before. Like, the mindset. What are we going to do about getting us all on the same accord? You know.
Well, you know, I'm gonna say this. Let me say, I have no problem. Let me say this, Vi. I have no problem with people wanting to throw their support behind candidates like Trump. I mean, if that's your thing, that's your thing. I have no problem with people taking their own path. Just don't lie. Just don't be lying. You know, just don't twist the facts. You know, don't deceive. If you want to be a Trump supporter, be a Trump supporter, but call it what it is. He is about to be the first president in the history of the United States to go on trial for a felony.
And he's gonna lose. And he's gonna lose. Okay. That's the worst part about it, he's gonna lose.
Yeah. So, you know, stop.
He's gonna lose.
Stop the. I know. Stop the election denying.
Yeah.
You know, stop the lying. If you want to support him, you know, don't be out here lying. Don't be. You know, come on. And my final thing, and then you know, I'll if you guys have any parting words, you can have them. It's interesting, the Breakfast Club. We talked about Charlamagne last week. Here in Atlanta, they made a decision to take the show off. Well, the station was like 21st in the market anyway.
But
it's number 21. It's not like anybody's going to miss it. But I just thought it's interesting that they took the show off, and it was on the one of the black blogs this week that they're no longer, and it's been confirmed that the show will no longer be on in Atlanta. So, you know, my whole point is it's interesting, and we'll kind of follow it because I'm interested in knowing whether or not they did this because of the Daily Show appearance. But ratings-wise, it sucks. I mean, it's at the bottom.
That's part of it.
Anyway, you know, here in the ATL, that's part of it. Y'all got any last minute shout out?
Well, I have one. Baker is showing too much love to Chick-fil-A. I ain't got no love for y'all. I'm sorry.
I'm not showing love for Chick-fil-A.
We should hold their feet to the fire and find who owns that Chick-fil-A. if you got the nerve or the courage to have it in your place, they have the courage to say who you are.
I don't go there anyway, but you're right.
That's all I'm saying.
You know. The boycotts against Chick-fil-A don't work.
I'm not saying boycott Chick-fil-A. I'm not going to say, my girlfriend let me know black folks ain't finna boycott Chick-fil-A.
They might give up Jack.
She let me know wholehearted last night, we are not finna boycott Chick-fil-A.
So, that's futile.
Yeah. Other than that, I'm with Baco. Other than that, I'm with Baco. If you're gonna support Trump, say who you are. Say who you are. Say I'm MAGA. I've always been a Trump supporter. Don't come out and say that the media's got it wrong. No, know, just say who you are. And because I don't see nothing wrong with you supporting Trump, that's what you want to do. But say who you are. Just admit why you're doing it. Don't be trying to bring me in with your lies. Just say who you are.
Yeah, so true. Any shout outs to leave?
Just want to say what's up to Sister Regia, GG out there. Appreciate everything. And, you know, much love to the fam.
Yep, big time. Thank you, to GG. Big time, big time. Thanks for the support. Love getting your feedback, y'all, positive or negative, on the episodes. Love your thoughts. Go to castropolis.net. Choose the people poll. And if you're MAGA, go ahead. You can go there and choose the people poll. I mean, if you know
defend
what I mean?
Defend your guy.
Because I'm going to tell you, he's lying.
And I'm going to tell you.
Defend your guy. Leave us a voice message, and I'll play
it. And I'm going to tell you full of it. Yeah. So go defend your guy.
Yeah. Y'all give it up for the country commentator. Going hard on MAGA and Chick-fil-A at the same time.
I have no love for Trump support. I hate to tell you that. No love for him. Don't hate him, but ain't got no love for him.
Yeah.
Support who you gonna support. You
know. I just view it as a cult. It's no longer for me, it's no longer a party, it's a cult. Yeah. You know. I don't say that to disparage anybody individually. I just say, you know, based on all the stuff that's been rolling out over the years and all the things that continue to be said, it's no longer a party, it's a cult. Tlaib, appreciate you, man.
For sure, bro. For sure. Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah. All right, y'all. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll do the tea with Tanya B.
All right, brother.
Appreciate you.
More. This is the G Podcast after the break.
Hey, this is Tommy B from This is the G Podcast. I want to encourage all my G's who reside in the area of Jonesboro, Stockbridge, Covington, Conyers, South Gwinnett. That's the new Georgia Congressional District 13 to vote for Karen Renee for Congress. Karen Renee is a true advocate for her constituents and truly believes in empowering the people. Visit electkarenrenee.com for more information and also find out whether you're in the new District 13. Follow her campaign on Facebook at Elect Karen Renee. Let's support a candidate who truly represents the people.
Now then, children, it's time for tea.
It's tea time, y'all. Sipping the tea with Tanya B.
Yes, children, it's time for tea. It's your girl, Tanya B, right here on This Is The G Podcast. This is how we do it each and every Sunday. Don't forget, like, subscribe, share, YouTube each and every day. We keep you informed about the real things that matter that are going on in your world. Ain't that right, Tommy D? All right, let's start out. Headlines this week. Thank goodness the news cycle is not as crazy as it's been the last couple of weeks. But we start off laying some folks on the 5,000 Black Baptist Church altars of Atlanta, Georgia. We just lost Rico Wade. You may not know the name, but you know the music. He was one of the founding collaborators with Outkast when they broke out in the 90s out of Atlanta, Georgia. Part of the organized noise crew with CeeLo Green, Goody Mob, even Future. And in case you didn't know, Future is actually a relative of Rico Wade, so may he rest in peace and sleep in power. You know, we got to talk about the juice. O.J. Simpson lost his battle with cancer this past Thursday at the age of 76. He was really in denial about that up like 2 months ago. I'm not in hospice. I'm not sick. There's nothing wrong with me. Okay, O.J., the mess of it all. Did he make a deathbed confession, Tommy B? And did he make all the 40-plus members of his family or those who came to see him at his bedside during the last days sign a non-disclosure agreement? What does it matter now? The man has gone on to glory. Any money that's made, of course, the Goldman family is going to come and try to take it so his kids don't get it, nor his grandkids. But one thing I think we should do right here, despite everything, you can't front on the man's contributions to football. And let's just respect the family's request for privacy, because at the end of the day, they didn't do anything. Did OJ do it? Did he do it? Oh, speaking of Diddy, okay. This producer, Roddy Rod Jones, who people were believing him at first, but now his story has more holes than an old piece of Swiss cheese. He cannot even get an attorney to take his case on contingency. He went to GoFundMe trying to get 50 grand to pay a lawyer. He only got 5 grand. That speaks volumes right there. Let's talk about Meg Thee Stallion. You know, she lost her mother, and I heard her grandmother. She's kind of been acting out. You saw the way she was dressed or not at a recent NBA game. She will be on Steve Harvey's Celebrity Family Feud this summer, and she's also naked as a jaybird in a recent the recent issue of Women's Health magazine. I guess they'll do anything to sell a magazine. After much speculation, the TV show The Talk will end in December. Cheryl Underwood, the only original surviving member, it will be replaced by the new all-black soap opera The Gates or the possible return of Judge Judy. Happy birthday to Kenny Babyface Edmonds. He is celebrating a birthday and a new Las Vegas residency. It kicks off Memorial Day weekend, but it's only 6 weekends until the end of the year. There are some affordable seats at $55, but you can also, I guess, tab VIP down front. It'll be $655. In a recent social media post, Freddie Jackson was caught singing all off-key, looking tired, not looking healthy, straining to sing, not looking well. Is there some organ failure issues going on with Freddie? But at the end of the day, you can't front. The man had 11 back-to-back number one records back in the 80s, had a lot of baby-making music, so we just wish him a speedy recovery. I told you about Rico Wade's cousin Future. Well, he got so many kids now, he's about to become a granddad. All I can say is I hope his son does not adopt the mantra, like father, like son. Jonathan Majors can get his life back, what's left of it. He's not going to jail. He has to complete a domestic violence diversion program, or then he will go to jail for 6 months. He had Megan Good in the courtroom with him, but then Karen, the girlfriend, was there screaming and showing her entire behind, and girl, go sit down. And Jonathan Majors, please work on your anger issues. Another Hot Mess Express story this week, Tommy B. John Amos. Now, you know, there was that allegation that he and Bernadette Stennis had started a petition to get rid of that hot garbage animated reboot of Good Times. But now, allegedly, he is filming a documentary, or somebody's helping him do it, okay, about senior abuse that involves his kids, the son, the daughter. They don't like each other. There's money missing. He's not getting his medication. I don't know. Somebody might have even taken his dentures, Tommy B. LAPD launched an investigation. They have closed it. They said there are no signs of abuse. Now, senior abuse is real. Don't get it twisted. The jury is out how this John Amos documentary, if it ever comes to fruition, will shine a light on it. We're shining a light on Oprah's bestie, Gayle King. Talking about she lost 30 pounds on a soup diet. Girl, bye. You know you went over there and got Oprah's extra Ozempic. Come on, Gayle. Rapper Ice Spice and Denzel, more like what the hell. She's got a part in this new Spike Lee film. It's called High and Low, coming on Apple TV, starring Denzel, who also stars in Gladiator 2 later this year. Now, I got to say this. Meghan and Harry, y'all need to go sit down and have several seats. If you really think there may be two people, and I'm not one of them, who wants to watch you all on a reality show talking about cooking and playing polo? Yeah, Harry played polo, but Meghan, if you can cook, it's going to have to be a show with your mama taking you back to Compton, to your roots, your real roots, your 4C roots, so you don't forget where you came from. All I got to say about that is, anybody care? Not me. It's your girl, Tanya B. Don't forget to check us out each and every day. Like, subscribe, share. This is the G Podcast on the YouTube channel. And don't forget, The Bird Wire, 24/7, on demand, castropolis.net. Bye, y'all.
Thanks to Tanya B, Vi Tlaib, and author, political analyst Harold Michael Harvey. Thanks to the crew, Millennial Nick, Lady J, Regia, music by K-Dub, all those who help us make it happen each and every single week. Subscribe and turn on notifications for new episodes, y'all. That's important. Go ahead and do it. And it's been a minute since I gave you a PSA, so here's a really big one. Avoid Netflix's Good Times at all costs. It's just not worth it. It's not a reboot. It's actually tragic. Don't watch it. If you've seen it, ask yourself, would Norman Lear have allowed this to happen to All in the Family? I seriously doubt it. And with that, episode 220 is in the can. Have a great week. Peace and power to the people.
You've been listening to This is the G Podcast. This is the G Podcast is a production of the Castropolis Podcast Network. Thanks for listening.